1 John chapter 3, we will read verses 23 and 24. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So we pray. Father, we pray now that the author of Scripture, the Holy Spirit, might open our eyes to understand that which he would teach us this morning, that would be helpful to us in our walk with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our topic this morning is constantly abiding. God is very concerned that Christians have a joyous confidence in himself. God is in no way glorified by having his children go around with fear and trembling and uncertainty. He wants us to have a joyous confidence in himself. And Scripture is given to us for that purpose. And since we are finishing chapter 3, we'd like to just have a word of review of the contents of chapter 3 this morning to sum up what we've been studying during these past weeks, because chapter 3 sets forth three special areas in which God gives us confidence in himself. First of all, in verses 1 through 10, we have seen the confidence of righteousness. In verses 1 through 10, we found that the righteousness of Christ is placed to our account in heaven when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Christ's righteousness becomes our righteousness. We are righteous before God because of what Christ has done for us. And at the same time, we find that the righteousness of Christ is placed in our lives here on earth. And so this brings great confidence into our hearts, because we know that we can with joy appear before him someday, because the righteousness of Christ is ours before the Father in heaven. And the assurance that this is so is evident because the righteousness of Christ is being worked out in our lives here on earth. And so as we see God doing this in our lives, it becomes a source of great confidence to us. Knowing then that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and then seeing the transformation that God is working in our lives here, brings great assurance to us. The second area of confidence, verses 11 through 18, where we have the confidence of love. First of all, God's love toward us, in that God sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And this fact that Jesus Christ came and bore our sins on the cross gives us great confidence to be able to come into the presence of God. We know that he loves us because of what he has done for us. The confidence of his love toward us. And then this is added to by the confidence of God's love through us. God's love toward us, in that he sent his Son, who gave his life for us. And then God's love through us, enabling us to give our lives for the brethren. Realizing then his love toward us through Christ, and his love through us by his Spirit, brings great confidence in our hearts before God. And then the third section that we're finishing today, verses 19 through 24, the confidence of obedience. And here we've seen in these verses the mutual relationship that God has brought us to in Christ, to himself. And during our previous weeks, we've seen the tremendous confidence this gives us in prayer. the freedom in prayer because of this relationship that we've come to with Him in Christ, a mutual relationship. And we saw in our previous study how this gives us great boldness then to come before His presence. And so, obedience that God has wrought in our lives, first of all, to the gospel, in that He has brought us to trust Christ as personal Savior, and then to Himself day by day as we walk in fellowship with Him, brings great confidence to us. And I think we can see this evidenced in our own lives. For example, in between a father and his son, if the father, for example, has instructed the son that when it snows, the snow is to be removed from the sidewalk, and that when he comes home from work, the sidewalk should be shoveled. And here we have a snowy day and it's cold, and the son has on his mind that he has grown out of his ice skates and he would really like a new pair of ice skates. And when Dad gets home, he's going to pop the question, Dad, my skates are too small. I'd really like a new pair of skates. And his dad walks in, and the first thing the son thinks of as he's ready to pop the question is all the snow that's still on the sidewalk. And his dad says, really snowed today, didn't it? And you know what the son thinks right about then? He says, this is not the time. Now, he's lost his confidence, his boldness in asking his dad because of the fact of the lack of obedience. So there's a definite relationship here between our confidence, our boldness to go into his presence in prayer, and the obedience in our lives toward him. And so John finishes off this portion and this chapter in verse 24 by explaining just what this relationship is and how we maintain this kind of relationship. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And so we have here a relationship between the Christian and his Lord. First of all, the relationship of Christ in me. Now, this relationship, Christ in you, the hope of glory, says Paul, is begun through personal faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We read this, for example, in John 1:12. In John 1:12, we are told that as many as received Him, Jesus Christ, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so we come into this relationship of Christ in us by means of receiving Him as personal Savior and Lord. And as we receive Christ as Savior, He comes into us in the person of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And so this relationship then is begun, Christ in us. And we have the assurance of this, John mentions in the latter part of verse 24. The assurance of Christ in us. And he says, first of all, hereby. In other words, by this means. So John is saying, I want to tell you the means by which we know that he is in us. By this means, we know. And once again, we have a word we've seen many times here in our study of John, gnosko, meaning personal experience. By this is the means by which we know from personal experience that he is in us, that he abideth in us. And here we come again to another one of John's favorite words. John has some words that he really likes, and when he likes them, he uses them. And this is another one of his favorites, the word to abide. And we know in John chapter 15, we see that many, many times. And we have it again here. The word is meno, to remain or to dwell or to reside. And it's the same word, for example, that is used in John chapter 1 and verse 39, where you remember that Jesus' disciples, prospective disciples, said, Master, where dwellest thou? In other words, where do you live? And this word is used by John in his gospel 40 times, and is used here in this epistle 23 times. In fact, it's used more in just the Gospel and the First Epistle than in the entire remainder of the New Testament, all the rest of the New Testament. And so here we have a favorite word of the Apostle John, abiding in Christ. And so he says, hereby, or by this means, we know by personal experience that he remains or dwells or resides or abides in us. Now, how is this? He says, the way then is by the Spirit. And notice there we have the article. The article making it very definite, the Spirit to which, or rather to whom he is referring. And so, the Spirit, a clear designation of the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit which he hath given us. And once again, the word which here would be better translated who, because the Holy Spirit is a person. Actually, the pronoun here could be either masculine or neuter, but we know from our other studies of Scripture that the Holy Spirit is a person, and so this could be better translated by the Spirit whom he hath given us. And so he gave us the Spirit, and the word here is past tense, the aorist tense, and it's very clearly an action. He gave us his Spirit. And I believe this refers not merely to the fact of the Spirit's coming on the day of Pentecost, but the fact that he gives to us his Spirit as a definite act on his part. And this is confirmed in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, where we are told that having believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise in that he comes into our hearts to reside in our hearts, to live in us. And so he gave us his Spirit. That means, John is saying here, that the way in which we know by personal experience that he abides in us is because he has given to us his Holy Spirit. Now, there are other ways. We know, for example, by Scripture that he is in us. We are told very clearly that when we trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior, he comes into our hearts in the person of the Holy Spirit, and we can turn to Scripture and say, I know from the promise of Scripture that he is in me, he abides in me. But we know, says John, by personal experience that he dwells in us by the Holy Spirit whom he gave to us at that moment of conversion to abide in us and to dwell in us forever. And so we find that we know that he abides in us, and the duration is forever. Ephesians chapter 1 also, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. That means until that day when I will be with him personally in heaven, his Holy Spirit abides in me here on earth. And so this is a duration until the time when we are with him. John 14:16, Jesus said that he would give them the Holy Spirit, and he would be with them forever. And so, once again, the promise that the Holy Spirit abides in the heart of the Christian forever. The fact also in Hebrews 13:5, where we are told the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we have the promise then of his abiding presence in us. Christ then in us, dwelling in us, is the promise of this portion of Scripture. Then the next aspect of this relationship, not only the fact that he abides in us, but the fact that we abide in him. And this is confirmed to us then in the first part of this verse that we skipped over. Not only Christ in me, but then secondly, I in Christ. I in Christ. And we find here in the first part of the verse that we've studied, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And so there is a reciprocal relationship, a mutual relationship. Dwelleth in him. And we have the word dwelleth is the very same word we have at the latter part of the verse. The word abideth is just translated differently. It's the same word, meno, to abide or to dwell or to reside. And John says here then, the response, of our response to His abiding in us, is our abiding in Him. Just as I become His place of residence, then He becomes my place of residence. And He abides in me, and I abide in Him. And John relates this then to the keeping of His commandments. He that keepeth His commandments. And we don't need to study these words. They are the very same words that we already studied in verse 22, where we read, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments." And they're all the very same words. And so if you want to do a word study on those, it's the same words that we studied in verse 22. "He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him." Now, here we want to be careful that we don't get a cause-effect idea from this statement. This is not saying, and if I keep His commandments, I will have the privilege of dwelling in Him. That's not what it is saying. These are all present tense verbs. And so we could translate this, and the one who is as a way of life keeping His commandments is as a way of life abiding in Him. It's all present tense. And so we have here the description of a way of life and not the requirement for an abiding relationship. This is a way of life, a life of abiding in Jesus Christ. And this abiding in Jesus Christ then has two aspects. This is a mutual relationship. First of all, He abides in me. And secondly, I abide in Him. Now, His abiding in me is evident then, John has already told us, by the fact that His Spirit dwells in us. Now, what does His Spirit do as He dwells in us? The Holy Spirit, as He dwells in us, is constantly prompting us. Prompting us in new understandings of the Word of God, new applications of the principles of the Word of God to our daily lives. That's His ministry. We have Scripture. And as we've seen in our previous studies, God has given us basic commandments. Then He's given us judgments, these that elaborate upon these basic commandments. He's given us testimonies, illustrations of these basic commandments, so that we might understand what He's trying to tell us, so that our lives might be pleasing to Him. And in all of this, then, the Holy Spirit is the one who takes these words of Scripture and makes them real to our hearts and applies them to our own hearts and gives us insight into Scripture. And so, as we read Scripture, meditate on Scripture, and then as we live our daily lives, it's the Holy Spirit who will take a verse of Scripture and make it very relevant to us. And as a Christian, we will find all of a sudden a verse of Scripture will become very meaningful. And it is the voice of the Holy Spirit that is saying, "This is the way in which right now I want you to show God that you want to do what is pleasing in His sight and show men that you love them." And so it's the Holy Spirit then who applies these things to our hearts. And this is to us meant to be a means of great encouragement. Now we have to be very careful because Satan would use the very ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to be to us a source of discouragement. And as the Holy Spirit will take a verse of Scripture and say, "This is the way that I want you to keep His commandments," the danger is that our hearts might think right away, "Oh, this is what I have not been doing. This is what I am not doing. This means for sure I can't be abiding in Christ. There can't be this mutual relationship because I have not been doing this." But the Holy Spirit in His promptings is clearing up to us new portions of Scripture wherein He wants us to please God and show our love to men. And He's not condemning us for the past. He's showing us what He wants for the future. Now, there might be ways in which we have offended God. We need to ask forgiveness, or offended men. We need to make restitution. But the promptings of the Holy Spirit, generally speaking, are forward. And He prompts us to go on with God, to go on in our relationship with Him. And so these promptings are merely steps of present obedience that He wants us to do now. And so as soon as the Holy Spirit makes some portion of Scripture very relevant to us and we see a new insight, here's a way in which I can show God that I trust Him and my brethren that I love them, the first response is, Lord, thank You for showing me, yes, I want to. A joyous response, a joyous positive response to what God is showing us. He's teaching us. This is leading us into new truth. And so this is meant to be of an encouragement. Now, even if it is something that we need to make right, it still is meant to be encouragement. It's not meant to be oppressive. Oh, look, I did that wrong. I didn't realize what Scripture taught, and look how I did that. That was all wrong. It's not meant to be discouraging. It's meant to be encouraging. And, you know, I gain encouragement from the fact that even the fact of His prompting me is another assurance of His presence. You know, there were years that I lived without God and without hope in the world. The Holy Spirit never prompted me to do anything. The Holy Spirit never opened up any portion of Scripture to my mind. The Scriptures were closed. And so now when God brings to my mind some new truth, even if it's something I have to get right, the first response is praise. Lord, thank You. Because I know a time when I would never have even seen that. And the fact that You have prompted me to see this new truth of step of obedience that You have for me is an encouragement. Because it means that You are in me. Now, isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a blessing to know that Christ is in you? And when the Holy Spirit comes with His voice of conviction or voice of instruction, the first thing you want to gain from that is encouragement. Thank You, Lord. This is another proof to my spirit that You dwell in me. So encourage our hearts in this. And not only that, then give immediate positive response to that prompting. Now, notice I say give immediate obedience to that prompting. Give immediate positive response to that prompting. The Holy Spirit does not prompt us in order to tell us what we are supposed to do. The Holy Spirit prompts us because He wants us to agree with what He wants to do. And there's a big difference. Because if I get the idea then that here is something I've got to do, and if I don't do this, I will not have the privilege of abiding, I'm going to live a life of constant defeat. Whereas if I recognize that here He is saying, here is something I want to do, will You let me? I say, Lord, go to it. And then He does it. Because that's His ministry, fulfilling the will of God in my heart. We are told that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And His working in me to will doesn't mean then that I've got to do it. But the fact that He then wants to perform this in me. And so the immediate positive response is that I agree to obey. Now this is in every aspect, whether it's just a plain positive aspect. Here's something I'm setting before you. Here's a new step of obedience that I want you to take. Fine, Lord. Thank You. Go ahead. Or if it's referring to the past, something I've done wrong. And the Holy Spirit prompts me and says, look, this verse here that I'm bringing to your mind is to show you that I was not pleased with what you did. And you offended another brother in what you did. Now the danger there is for me to think, uh-oh, I blew it. I've got to correct it. Until I correct it, I won't be walking in fellowship. I won't be abiding. And so I've got to correct that as soon as I can and get that straightened out. When I get that straightened out, then I'll come back and go, okay, now, Lord, I can abide again because I took care of that. That's not what He wants. And if that's what we do, we find ourselves doing a lot of carnal confession. And you know, carnal confession, just like all kinds of carnality, is offensive. Very offensive. And so it's not my responsibility to take care of that which he shows to me. It is my responsibility to agree. Positive response. Lord, I agree that that was wrong. I agree it needs to be made right. And Lord, I agree to let you do it. So that then, when that is made right, it will be made right in his time and in his way. Because if I rush back and make it right, first of all, I'll probably go back without really feeling in my own soul the depth of the offense against that person. And I'll go back with a lightness of spirit. You know, hey, you know, sorry about that. That doesn't go over. And so I'll go back and I'll do it wrong. Either I won't sense his real feelings or I'll choose the wrong words. You know, then I have the next step. Making right what I tried to make right. That's harder yet. When you have to do it the second time, it's worse. And so that's not his purpose. His purpose is that we agree. Instant agreement. And this way, then, the relationship is maintained. Now, the Holy Spirit does not convict me that such and such a thing was wrong, because he wants to place upon me the obligation, the burden of getting that right so that we can have fellowship again. His purpose is that he wants me to agree, that he make it right, that we might remain in fellowship. That did not disturb my fellowship while I didn't know it. And he brings it to my attention and I say, Amen, Lord. I agree with you. Let's take care of it. My fellowship still is not disturbed. And so I am still abiding. And so this is a present, continuous relationship of keeping his commandments, abiding in him. It's one thing. As I am abiding, I am keeping. And as I am keeping, I am abiding. It's one life. It's a way of life. And each time he reveals some new step of obedience, the response is an immediate yes. Yes, Lord, I agree to let you clean up the mess. That's what he wants to do. Because when he does it right. And so it's an agreeing, an abiding, obeying, a continuous relationship. Now the result of this, as we've seen in previous verses and in other portions of Scripture, result is a freedom in prayer. When you know that not only he is abiding in you, you are abiding in him, it gives a real freedom in prayer. And we're told this in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and I in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, I think one of the favorite requests of a person who is abiding is, Lord, what else do you want? You know, the natural man says, you know, oh, now what else is he going to want? You know, but when you're abiding, the attitude is, Amen, Lord. What next? What next? What more? It's exciting because he's doing it and it's fun to watch him do it. And so it's an exciting relationship and there's real freedom in prayer, because I don't think there's anything the Lord likes to hear more than, Lord, what else? He wants us to grow in him. He wants us to go on in him. He wants us to know day by day the excitement of seeing him work in our lives. And so that's a tremendously joyous request to the Lord. And the Lord says, when you abide in me and I abide in you, you just ask whatever you want to. And you're going to be asking the kind of things that I am just excited about doing. And you aren't going to have any problem with me answering the kind of prayers that you're going to be praying. As you're abiding in Christ and you see him working, you know, all these little petty requests that ordinarily would occupy a mortal's mind, you know, you hear people praying, Lord, I pray that I might win the lottery and all that kind of nonsense, you know. You know, when you're abiding in Christ and you see God doing these kinds of things in your life, you can't think of anything more important to pray about than, Lord, what next? What next? Is there more? I want some more. And the Lord says, you can ask all those kind of requests you want to, and you'll just find me eager to answer them for you. And so there's freedom in prayer. There's fruitfulness in service. John 15:4, as well. Abide in me, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, neither can ye, except ye abide in me. You know, a branch does not ask for fruit. A branch asks for water. And if you give it water, it'll give fruit. And so we don't ask for fruit. We ask for water. We ask for the abiding. And He gives the fruit then in our lives. And as we abide in Him, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, through that relationship, produces a witness. And the witness produces the fruit. There's nothing that makes people hungrier for God than to see God working in somebody else's life. I know that's what got me started in the Navy there. All those sailors, and all of a sudden I saw some sailors who were different. And it produced a hunger in my heart that could not be satisfied aside from saying, Lord, I want it. And so this abiding relationship produces a witness that will produce fruit. And we don't need to worry about fruit. We don't need to be concerned about fruit. Our only concern is, Lord, what next? And the fruit will come as a natural product. And so we find here John is seeking to tell us there's a twofold relationship. His abiding in me. His abiding in me is unconditional. We saw that in our previous study here. We are sealed till the day of redemption. He will abide with you forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. His abiding in me is unconditional. He's in my heart to stay. Now, my abiding in Him has only one requirement, and that is a constant yes to His leadership. And this constant yes to His leadership produces that constant abiding and constant obedience. The obedience is the result of the abiding, not the requirement of the abiding. And so there's just that constant, positive response to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, this gives great assurance then. His promptings are my assurance that He abides in me. What a thrill. Every time a new prompting of the Holy Spirit, another indication, He abides in me. And then the great assurance of my yes, that I abide in Him. It's possible for us to say no and to get out of fellowship with the Lord. But all that it takes is the constant yes. And each time I say, Lord, I agree. That's not the condition for abiding. That's just the indication of the continued abiding. And so I can then claim victory with boldness because He's the one that does it. And the result then of that obedience that He produces is fruitfulness in our lives. For many years, I read books on abiding in Christ, and I would finish them with a great weight upon my soul, saying, you know, I just wish I could do all of that. Chapter after chapter, they'd give me new and more complicated schedules of progress, how to do this, and how to finally come through. And you think, well, now I'm doing this and this, now I've got to do this, now I've done that, and now maybe, do I have it? Yeah, I think I do. I do. I'm abiding. And all of a sudden, it's gone again. Where'd it go? What did I do now? And God says, just yes, that's all. Just agree. And as you agree, I'll do it. And I'll take care of the obedience, and that will be a witness. And that witness will bear fruit in your life. So we pray. Father, we praise You that You have made the life of abiding in Christ as simple as it could possibly be, because you want us to live the life of abiding in Thee. Now we thank You for this. This is not something complicated. This is not something we have to earn and merit and try to maintain. This is something that You want to do for us, and You will do for us. And this will be a means of great joy to us and witness to others and fruitfulness in our lives. And we thank You, Father, that all You want is our moment-by-moment positive response to the gracious, encouraging promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank You that You have made this kind of a life not only possible but easy for every believer to enjoy day by day. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.